the forward area. So we're really glad to see Tack. I think he's going to come out with a vengeance, you know, because of that. And I think in many respects, Evan Stout, who he was on the JV team, basketball team last year, and then him and Charlie Burrows were invited to join the varsity team during the playoffs. It got some great exposure. They didn't play at all, but practiced with the team, worked out with the team, and Coach Richter graciously awarded them with varsity letters for their role. And again, Evan Stout, a football player, you know, having a great season. You know, I know Brooke is hard having to forfeit the last two games, so I know he's really looking forward to this season with the Blackshirt basketball program. So 2 minutes are left of the JV game. Time is 7 o'clock. That would be the normal start. Like, we're a little bit of a late going here, and no one seems to mind because there's some good quality ball being played. So, and I also want to give a big shout out to Albanese's Roadhouse, who is the official sponsor of our broadcast of the Waukesha Christmas Parade. Joe is also a Blackshirt alum, arguably the greatest catcher in Waukesha Blazers baseball history. And a fantastic dining experience there. This is their 40th anniversary, too, so a lot for Joe to celebrate this year. And really looking forward to having him as part of the broadcast on Sunday. Hawks winding down here under 2 minutes on the JV campaign. And boy, I really wish we could put this on video for people to see. Our JV boys have a lot to... It really showed us a lot here. They spread the ball around, a lot of different players scoring. That'll be the big challenge too, Connor, for the varsity. Yeah, you know, Daniel and Connor, or Daniel and Tyron, excuse me, putting you back out on the court again, Connor. Daniel and Tyron can easily put up 20 points. I've talked to my body and given too much time to their answer. Point lead. Yeah, you kind of want to go out gracefully. Never know if you see these guys in the playoffs, too. Even a year or two from now. So the varsity team has come out getting ready to take the court. They've got new warm-up sweaters. The black shirt cardinal. They're black sweaters with the black shirt cardinal. They're wearing red shorts. I'm anticipating red shirts, red or black, since the visiting team. So a new look for the black shirts. You know, last year they were primarily all black. Back to JV teams wearing last year's varsity uniform. I just figured that out. And all white at home. So, yeah, technical, I think, was awarded to Giovanni after the taunting there. So Roman Long's going to shoot it. Again, Roman Long will be joining the varsity team, at least on the bench. This early in the season, though, not a bad idea to give a good freshman some touches there. So, Connor, one celebrity in what many believe to be the real driving force behind the Blackshirt basketball program. I apologize. Calvin just texted me. Let's take a quick break for station identification. Calvin, take over.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
So we're back, and I was just telling Connor, the real celebrity of this Blackshirt basketball program is Tyron Cook's grandmother, who never misses a game. Obviously, Tyron's number one fan, and perhaps the Blackshirt's number one fan. We'll probably hear her on the broadcast from the other side of the court. We're kitty corner from where the Blackshirt bench is and where Blackshirt Nation will be rooting the team on. But I have no problems asserting that you will hear from Tyron's grandma throughout the game. We'll catch her voice. We might even have to bring her over here during halftime for an interview.
You can go over there, Don.
We sure will. Will the court stretch that far, Connor?
You can make it.
All right. Well, that'll be good. So I know Coach Richter would probably like to give us a few words too, if that's possible. So, but yeah, logistically, where we're set up, and as a visiting team, we're kind of we're subject or slave to where the home team wants to play. They put us in a great spot. We're not complaining. And they put us in that corner, we'd be obstructed by the varsity basketball team. Oh, big block! It knocked out of bounds.
Dropped it on his head.
But
I don't know why that wasn't a good idea.
I think because he was out of bounds. You're out of bounds and they hit you.
Yeah, I know, but at the same time, it was.
That's a pretty sweet play. It's a great block by your buddy. Let's take a quick break, Calvin, pay some bills, and we'll be back. Come back in like 2 minutes.
My husband said to give our house more curb appeal, so I started painting. Then I went on Google and looked up the meaning of curb appeal. It said to make it more nicer. So I called Replacement Window Center, and they put in new replacement windows.
Get free installation and 0% financing for 18 months. Free installation and 0% financing. Hurry, call now.
Replacement Window Center. Our name says it all.
I'm Chris Jakimic. I served in the United States Air Force and I deployed 3 times. Being a veteran, it's interwoven into your DNA. It is really the absence of the connection and the purpose that can really drive a lot of veterans to some negative thoughts. For those who are in a suicidal crisis, the window of time to save somebody's life is very short. Our duty is to protect ourselves and protect our families. And one way you can do that is store your weapons safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
If you're looking to improve your home, you need to check out Tundraland in Waukesha. Redesign your bathroom with showers you'll want to sing in. Tundraland offers one-day installation, flexible financing, jacuzzi bath remodel, shower and bath systems, customizable options, and they have employee installers. If you mention WAUK 540 AM or 101 FM the Shaw, you can get a $500 gift card for your next project, which is great because they also do decks and cabinet refacing. Visit the showroom at 1741 Dolphin Drive in Waukesha and mention the Shaw sent you.
Black shirts, looks like all reds. Again, with their black war off jerseys with the big bird head on the cover. We forgot to mention the coaching staff for the Tulsa West Trojans. Head coach is Christopher Neubauer. Assistant coaches are Ryan Eller-Bush and Colin Young. No relation to longtime Detroit mayor Colin Young. I don't believe it. Speaking of mayors, Waukesha Mayor Sean Riley is my guest on This Week in Waukesha, Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Mayor and I will have a very heartfelt discussion on the last year we've had here and how we continue to heal as a community and what we can look forward to the upcoming parade and other great happenings in our wonderful city of Waukesha. So we're looking at the warm-ups here. And it looks like we spotted Guy Rogers, every bit to 6 feet 11 inches of him. They got another big man out of there. Yeah, they've got a 6'8 senior named Owen Smith, who is 42. So AJ, you can see what he can see what the starting lineups look like for both teams. What I told you earlier was my projection, so it's not confirmed. It's not the gospel. Be interesting to see what Coach Richter does here. But bleachers have filled in. Some surprised to see some empty seats on the home team side. But a strong attendance nonetheless. Recognize any of the officials, but being that it's a non-conference game, Black Church would get a fair call. Oh, the Trojans, yeah. Trojans wear green and white, maybe a little black trim. The Trojan hat is a logo icon, very akin to USC's. Although you actually see the face of this Trojan and their logo. The logo is painted on both sides behind the baskets. Hard to miss. What's that?
No South is anything like that.
We've got the black shirt on the center court. And behind, I guess you'd call the North backboard, there's a picture of Tyron Cook's 1,000th point. Tyron earned his 1,000th point as a junior, maybe halfway through the season on the road against Cotton Block. And then the very next home game, they honored it before the game with a portrait. So you can see that. It's funny, you know, it's home sweet home, and I just can't quite recall some of the other elements. It's a great gym to play at, great hardwood. It's a good fan experience, not a bad seat in the whole house. We'll be situated in like the executive suites, which would be nice, outside of the exercise facility. So we have Coach Richter and Athletic Director Dan Schreier. A little poke to make sure that the exercise room is unlocked for us, at least us, to get in and keep it unlocked so we can plug in. I know they're excited to have us back for basketball after all it's a fun year in the football season, despite the last two cancellations. So, black shirts looking very loose, a lot of smiles. The red shorts have kind of that DePaul look from the Ray Meyer years. Black stripes against a kind of a white, black horizontal stripes against a vertical white stripe. Looking forward to seeing what the jerseys look like once they get their jumpers off. Now, Connor, growing up in Chicago, were you a Bulls fan?
Of course.
So you gotta love the black shirt colors then.
Any team that dons that color.
Yeah. Blackhawks too. Bears a little more orange, right?
Yeah, they're orange and basic blue.
And you know their logo's a knockoff from Carroll College, you know, right? They had to get permission from Carroll to use it. 9 minutes before the game starts. We're looking at Coach Richter talking to his assistant. Black shirt student section is filled in nicely. You can see some parents there. Talked to Coach Richter before the game, and he said, you know, it's he has filled his schedule with some tough non-conference games. They'll be playing Menominee Falls again. This year it'll be at home. They played them last year on the road. Menominee Falls is a perennial or, you know, traditional dynasty juggernaut, whatever you want to call them. They had a disappointing playoff season. I don't know if they made it to state or not, but at one time they're number two in the state. But either way, it's a tough game for us. And then Sussex Hamilton, who we played on the road last year, will be coming to South too. So going to be a lot of great action. And it goes without saying, Classic 8 will be tough again. In fact, we're hearing some things about Econoblock having a kind of a breakout season. A bigger, a better year this year with some of the talent they have. So, as a background, it's really one of the statement games of Lexus last year was their first conference game. It's at home against Econoblock, and they're trailing by 12 at halftime. And I don't know what Coach Richter said in the locker room, but it did the trick because they came out, opened up a can of kick butt, and really did a number, really showed a lot of poise. And again, you have to remember this team, you know, they'd seen some tough losses, they'd seen some losing seasons. So, you know, being down by 12 can have its toll psychologically, but they bounced back, and that really gave them the confidence to, again, run the table. I know they had two losses, but the second loss was their last game of the season after they clinched. They already clinched the conference. It was senior night, so they played a lot of seniors most of the game, and the game still went to overtime. They lost in overtime. And then their first loss was in December last year against Kevin Memorial. And it was at home in South, but we went to Kevin Memorial and got our revenge. So, you know, when you can only lose two games, as you know, in your conference, that's a heck of a year, especially in the Classic game. It's arguably one of the toughest, if not the toughest, athletic conference in the state. Across the board, too. Our volleyball team, which is combined with North of Fusion, we had a great playoff campaign. We were one game short of going to state. But there were seven teams in the Classic 8, and four of them were in the top 10 during the season last year. And you look at any sport, and you'll probably see the same stats. And that's why, you know, going back to football for a minute, there's a growing movement to try to move South out of the Classic 8 of football because we just don't belong, you know, in a sport that needs at least 30, 35 good kids, healthy kids, to be competitive. And you look at the size of our school and watch on our school versus the Classic 8 schools. It's just really not a great match. We're not asking for special favors. We're not trying to win a state championship. We want an equitable playing field for our athletes, like any other school.
Yeah, it's really difficult to build up the rest of the way. Players just can't get experience.
Well, when you get beaten and just humiliated by a team that just outmans you.
It's difficult to focus on getting what the level's better. You know, this is about young people being able to play, being able to get that experience, being able to learn from college. It's not just about team pride. And so I think it would be in the best interest.
We got less than 5 minutes before the starting whistle. Calvin, let's take a real quick break, a one-minute break, and we'll be right back here on the Black Shirt Sports Radio Network.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Morning, Mama. How you feeling?
Great, and I'm ready for you today.
I'm checking in on ya. Morning meditation?
Check.
Dressed and ready to work out?
Check.
Check your blood pressure yet?
And check.
Boom! Great job, Mom. And about those gold earrings?
No, ma'am.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Monitor your blood pressure daily and help each other stay motivated. Rally your squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
Are we live? Hey, we're back here in Tulsa West High School. Another 2 minutes before they announce the starting lineups and the tip-off. I don't know the music. Do you, Connor, that's playing?
Yeah, they're playing some.
Yeah, are you digging it? Or not here?
I'm not the biggest fan, but you know, it's warm-up music. It's hype music. You got to get the
vibe. Yeah, get some pumps.
You got to get a pump. So that's what it does. It's real loud. It's actually filled out even more. It's filled out even more.
Sorry to interrupt. That was Evan Stout who came to give me a fist bump. Full disclosure, my son. Did I mention he's honorable mention all Classic A football? Anyway, back to you, Connor. Say it, man. Say it.
Yeah, it's what I even want. On both sides, actually.
Yeah. Do you have a walkout song from your playing days?
Oh, no. No. It was never that extravagant.
Yeah, when my son Evan was little, he got to play with the Pacers at Helfer Field. Have you seen that yet? Next year, it's a youth baseball field where County Stadium used to be. In fact, there's a spot marked where the home plate was. But Evan, yeah, they got to do walk-off songs, and Evan was, I think, it was like, it was either Black Dog by Led Zeppelin or Back in Black by AC/DC. So. The players have finished their opening warm-up, and they're going to stand. Looks like we're going to start with the national anthem, and then they'll do the starting lineups. We'll take a moment.
Thank you.
doing without your people? That was our national anthem, beautifully played on the can. Now they're going to announce the starting lineups, and we'll see if my all my projections played out, Connor.
That's
for Donovan. Now sounds good. We'll start at 6:18. I was only off by one. They got a speed on the size department there, no surprise.
Yeah.
I can understand Coach Richter wanting to go bigger. Starting lineup. Tommy Cook will do the jumping honors against Kai Rogers. Or no, excuse me, Tyron Cook will. That makes more sense. Tyron might win this tap, Connor, in spite of Rogers' height. South wins the tap, and Ethan Check has it. Pass it to Daniel Robinson. Hands it over to Tyron Cook at the point. Cook goes right away in the first drive. A layup, which is off the rim. Well guarded there by three Trojans, at least, including Kai Rogers. Hanson has the ball at the point. Gives it to Smith, to Rogers underneath. The Trojans using their size early, making a statement. Daniel Robinson brings the ball up. Right wing. Comes through the middle now. That's it to Tanioka for three. Yes! Shaq Tanioka, the senior. And the ref blows the whistle so they can fix the net. Hanson is the others. Number 24, shot, and it's rebounded by Teddy. No, out of bounds. It's also Paul Hanson, the junior, driving to the basket there. Hey, how am I sounding, Calvin? Better? Okay, good. So it looks like Moses Long, the junior, will inbound. He gets Hanson on the right and the left wing. They got a matchup zone defense going now. Owen Smith. Tyron Cook comes to the line, the lefty makes the first. See if we can give the black shirts the lead here. This next basket. And it goes in. Bounces around a little bit, but comes down. So. Lectures up 5-4, and Daniel Robinson playing tough on Hanson. Oh, Hanson, that is.
And on the wing, does it?
Another change, Giants. No, but a great rebound by Elizabeth to Rogers. Rogers comes in. Hit the ball at the top of the key. Signals for a to cut. It's Robinson the lead. Robinson for three. Boy, I'm nervous. Kind of like, Sixers up 8-6 now. Gets it to the thing. Gets it to the other hand. Send the three. No good. Teddy will put the rebound. This first. Franco back to check. Check drive. Well played by Jack. Hanson to Owen Smith, top of the key. Over to Moses Long. Back to Hanson. Yes! Take that. Back with the ball, he drives up. Hanson, Hanson, yes! Now he goes for three, and that's a payoff. That's 5 points already. So here comes Jake Hanson, now bringing it down. Electric Tech, the King level, 13:30 remaining in this game. He drives fast on Daniel Robinson, and he's fouled by Tommy Carrico, going for a layup. A good foul by the senior. Teddy, he called for the foul. Interesting. I thought that was all enough.
Yeah.
I think Teddy up was anywhere near there. Hanson makes a first.
Cole Hanson, that is.
So it's now 15-12. Maybe you can make it a 2-point game here. Second one is a switch. 4 points from Paul Hanson. Daniel Robinson covering. Still dribbling. Gives it to Kai Rogers at the top of the key. Jake Hanson for an easy deuce. Yeah. Teddy Oka, the corner, he needs for three. Teddy Oka, look at him. Jake Hanson, the rebound. Trojans are going to take the lead here now. Yes. 17-15. Jackson got the ball on the right wing. Did you back to Tyrant? Put Greg Lowe in the corner. Back to Cook on top on the right side. Good drives, double coverage, back to Krinkle. Krinkle swings in Jen Robinson. Need to check. Check, back to Krinkle. I'm going to swing the ball well. And Tyra Cook. Joel Smith got the top of the key. He goes for three. The big man. He's out the back of the rim. Rebounded by Carrico. Carrico to Daniel Robinson driving down. And he just was in the Tanyo. But Tanyo kicks it out. Too many numbers there in the Georgia defense. So it's Tyron at the top of the key. The signature wiping of his palms off the back of his feet. This is to Robinson. And Robinson is another ball for 3.9. Oh, Hanson got away with a wicked channel. Both Smiths got another play. Jake Hanson covered by Long from the lamp, and he gets the foul. Thinking they're calling it on Tyron Cook or Tommy Carino. That was Tommy Carrico with his first foul. Moses Long. 6'3 junior. Looking to get his first points. The Trojans up by 2. This one comes in after a struggle.
Lots of fast breaks. I'm wondering if they're going to play more songs.
Yeah. Trojans can run just a little extra. It's maybe better. So it's a 4-point Trojan lead.
It's on free throws. But most long.
Irish Cook brings the ball up. Slowly. Comes to the center. Going to the point. Over to Daniel on the right wing. Daniel going for three. Off the top of the rim. Colin Smith with the rebound. Kevin Stout in the game now for the Black Shirts. Facing Tadioka. Paul Hanson brings it up to Rogers on the wing. Back to Smith on the point. Moses underneath. Trey Duncan's a gas. Throw it this side. That's a 6-point lead out for the Trojans. And there's a backcourt foul there. Paul Hanson gets it'll be a side out. Evan Stout takes it out. Very quick. Heads down the right, gives it to Daniel Robinson. Oh! Pass to Frank was stolen by Kier Rogers. He's fouled. And the layup doesn't go in. Daniel Smith will get charged with that one. Yeah.
Hi, Rogers.
Easy, Jody.
think he scored one of the first points in the game with the mid-range. And now he's drawing fouls. He missed a three, but if he had the confidence to take it, he may be able to.
Let's see how he is from the line here. First one goes in. So 7 points so far for Rodgers. 6'11 sophomore. Again, 6'11 sophomore. He's got a lot of high school money.
Sophomore.
So my friend Frank Rose used to say, oh, at the top of the rim of mess. So Black shirts bring the ball down, trailing 27-20. 51 left. Robinson pitches to Stout. Stout back to the top of Franco. Creep it past all of them. So out of bounds of Black shirts. Eight athletes, 8:28 remaining. 27-20. Just taking his time on the right side.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mantner with your headlines. Winter has arrived with the snowy season. Snow plows are out working hard to keep the roads clear. Drivers might notice a new feature on many snow plows throughout Wisconsin. County and municipal snow plows have added flashing green lights in addition to the yellow ones. A new law was passed in April allowing this addition. Officials say green lights create a better contrast against the snow and are more visible during storms. The decision was made because of several close calls, and as they're phased in, officials hoping it will serve as a more visible reminder to slow down and proceed with caution around snow plows. Gas prices falling in Wisconsin. On Monday, prices in Milwaukee, Green Bay, and Appleton fell below $3 a gallon. Statewide average gas prices also down from $3.23 a week ago to $3.15 on Tuesday. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here at WAUK 540 AM or 101 FM every Monday night from 7 to 8. This is The Shaw. I'm very thankful to have with us Scott Thompson of Law Forward, and we've been talking about the Supreme Court race primaries in February, and then the main race in April for the new next Supreme Court justice. And we've been talking about the Law Forward report that summarizes the themes and lessons from the Supreme Court over the last term, 2021 through 2022. Again, Scott, thanks for being here. Where can folks find this report? And then we'll get into the second theme.
And I'm also thankful to be here, Mark. I really appreciate the time. And yes, our report, Deconstructing Democracy, is on our website, and you can find it at lawforward.org.
So I found it interesting that you folks, in your review of the decision, Supreme Court, the second theme you sort of highlight is consolidating power at the legislature. So tell us a little bit about that. What does that mean? And what does that mean for democracy? And what should people be thinking about along those lines when they go to vote?
So I think that this really flows from the first part of our conversation, the part about an attack on democracy, because with the sort of precision-guided gerrymander in place in the legislature, the next step to preserve that power or to expand it would be to concentrate power in the legislature at the expense of really the other branches of our state government. And I think the best example of this that you'll find in our report, that you'll find from the last term, is in a case called Call v. Prain. And this case involved some bizarre procedural nuance, but it was really important to our democracy. A Governor Walker appointee to the State Natural Resources Board, Dr. Frederick Prehn, had his term expire. The statute is very clear. It says his term shall expire, I believe, after 6 years. Nevertheless, Mr. Prehn, Dr. Prehn, elected to remain in his seat, being what is called a holdover appointee. Attorney General.
Meaning this, right, that usually when your term is up and your side loses the election, generally democracy says you step down, you walk away and let the new players get on the field, right?
That's exactly right. And positions like this are appointed by the governor. And so when Wisconsin voters vote, for governor, they're saying, okay, this is the type of person I want to be on the Natural Resources Board. This is the type of person I want to be on the State Technical Colleges Board. And so that's why we see this as a legislative power consolidation issue, because what ultimately happened is, even though the law says very specifically, hey, your term is up, what the Supreme Court ruled is that the only valid way for Governor Evers at this point to replace Dr. Prehn is to get the state Senate to formally approve his nominee. Now, the state Senate won't even hold hearings on Governor Evers' nominees. They're not going to vote in approval of them, certainly not. And so what we are dealing with now is that Governor Walker actually maintains dead hand control over significant offices of the state executive branch. And now this is two times that the Wisconsin electorate has come out in force and said, this is not the type of person we want on our state boards. Yet nevertheless, we are stuck in a situation where individuals like Dr. Prehn can stay on this board theoretically until they die.
So the practical consideration, now that Governor Evers has won re-election, what do you think the position of these holdover appointees is going to be? What do you think the new heads of the Senate and the Assembly are going to say about this? Do you think they're going to continue to stand by losers' control, or do you think they're going to readjust their political thinking?
Well, I can't guess what the heck they're going to do. But what I can say is this: what the Supreme Court did in this Prehn case was incentivize this bad behavior. Because at least beforehand, you know, I don't know about you, but if someone told me my term is up in 6 years, I'd be up in 6 years. But now with the, you know, stamp of approval from the state Supreme Court that this illogical conduct is okay, there seems to be a new incentive that maybe didn't exist previously. Now, I think that because of the gerrymander, it's very unlikely that the majority leadership in either house of the legislature is going to suddenly reverse course. I think what really might, and this is just reality of it, these people might just get bored eventually. I think that there is some truth to the matter that, you know, maybe you don't want to be in this position for the rest of your life. Maybe you have other things that you want to do rather than stay on for literally ever. But I don't think that there is anything out there that makes me believe that suddenly the leadership in the legislature is going to reverse course and now immediately act on and approve the nominees that Governor Evers sets forth. I just don't see that happening.
So, you know, given, I mean, we all grow up civics and we hear about three branches of government and checks and balances. How does this decision and the court's decisions on checks and balances, how does that play out? I mean, this is one decision, but how are there others that have really consolidated the power against with the legislature, and in this case, a gerrymandered legislature, which is, you know, right-wing Republicans?
Right. And so I think the checks and balances conversation is really important here. And when you think about it, it's almost as if there were two checks that have now been removed. The first check was that the governor gets to appoint this individual. That is sort of no longer the case, at least for Dr. Prehn's seat. And the other thing is that the judiciary, the Supreme Court, had the opportunity as the other check to make sure that our three branches of government stayed strong, could have said, no, this obviously doesn't make sense. Governor Walker shouldn't still be controlling our state agencies. But they abdicated, I would say, their duty to uphold that democracy principle here once again. And so I think this Prehn case is a really good example of when the checks, you know, don't actually serve as checks or can't actually serve as checks. Now, the most obvious other place to look for consolidating legislative power is certainly the Johnson case that we talked about before, that made sure that not only would the gerrymander that began in 2010 continue, but probably get worse, putting that in place. And I think these two cases together, it feels like a perfect storm, where the one is, like I said before, sort of incentivizing the other. Unless there is some break on the stranglehold of the gerrymander, these incentive structures are just going to play out, at least before the currently constructed court, in a way that's pretty problematic for the most basic principles of government.
So taking those, you know, those couple of themes that you've already talked about, direct attacks on democracy, consolidating power in a gerrymandered legislature, people that are listening and paying attention to the election, the primary, you know, in February and the final election in April, what questions should folks be asking these candidates?
Well, that's a great way to put it. I think one thing that I like to think about is that the Supreme Court sort of looms in the background in many of these discussions, but has such a significant influence. And so the questions that I would be asking have to do with how would a Supreme Court justice in their position really advance our democracy? How do Supreme Court justices consider voting rights? These sort of just like elemental things that I think over the last few years people started to realize are actually really important to everything else. And so even if you're concerned about, you know, DNR regulations on your lake up north, you also have to be considerate about who is your person in the state Senate now. And I think that that's a result of having justices on the Supreme Court who view democracy in different ways than I think, frankly, they should. But that's neither here nor there. I think the questions that people should be asking of these justices is really, you know, what can they do in their role as a leader of that branch of the government to make our democracy healthier?
So where does the state constitution and its interpretation play out in these decisions? You know, I mean, how does the majority and the minority and the dissents, right, this debate between these justices on these issues, how do they look at the state, you know, our constitution?
Right. And this is, you know, not always the most obvious thing, but Wisconsin has its own constitution, different from the federal constitution.
Well, that's what I'm asking. So what does it say? And how are these decisions consistent or not consistent with your view of what the state constitution says?
Well, I think that the state constitution, or I know the state constitution, guarantees that these branches must exist, Frank. Like they set forth clearly that the executive branch has control over certain things. And in the 70s, the statutes that dictate how the executive branch are supposed to work made really clear that all these appointments like Dr. Prehn are really executive functions. But this sort of dovetails with I think the last part of our report on results-oriented judging. Frankly, I think that the results that we see in cases like Prehn are something of an outcome of protecting the constituencies that generally favor certain justices on the Supreme Court, where they derive some of their power from.
We'll spend a little bit more time on that issue after the break. But I want to go, you're a lawyer, I'm a lawyer. We look at these issues, and you know, there's all this discussion about activist judges, and, you know, the conservatives say that, you know, the liberals are the activist judges. But if you have a state constitution that says that the executive power has the power, how are the current conservative majority tipping, you know, our state constitution on its head?
I would say that it's less that they're tipping the state constitution on their head, and more that they're just ignoring it. There are a lot of protections in the state constitution that are, you know, different than the federal constitution. And I think that in situations like this, it just becomes convenient to ignore it when it's not in their favor. And they find other arguments that, you know, I don't think cut much mustard, whatever this phrase is. But the truth of the matter is, if you look at the central statute in question, said the guy's term was over in 6 years, shall expire in 6 years. And the court was comfortable ignoring that to, again, cement the dead hand control of a governor who's not in power and hasn't been for quite some time. And so I see this as less as an exercise of a difference in how to read the law and more as an exercise in really power. How to insulate this type of long-term conservative effort that we've seen in Wisconsin for the last, you know, 12, 13 years or so. Those things are very close, closely related.
So, folks, I am here with Scott Thompson of Law Forward. We're talking about Law Forward's report on the Supreme Court, its last term, its implications for the upcoming elections in February and April of 2023. We will be back after the break with Scott Thompson. This is Attorney Mark Thompson, spelled differently, folks. This is SEN. This is The Shaw, folks, WADK 540 AM. We will be back momentarily.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WADUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
I was about...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic.